All right, let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles. You should be there already. John chapter 1. So far, we've looked at three aspects of this first section, the deity of Jesus Christ. First of all, we have the Word, and we've seen from verse 1 and verse 14 that the Word is definitely talking about Jesus Christ. And we learned how the Jews would understand the statement of the Word. We learned how the Greeks would understand the significance of the term the Word. And it is basically saying, it is definitely saying, Jesus is God come in the flesh. He's God's message and God's extension. He is Emmanuel, God with us. So first of all, we saw the Word, Jesus Christ, eternal person. We learned that Jesus is God. Second of all, we learned the Word's infinite power. Verses 3 through 5. Jesus created everything. He owns everything. And he is life and light. And those themes are throughout the Gospel of John. And then third of all, we had the word, Jesus Christ, his herald, his prophet. John the Baptist was an uncompromising witness. As I look at this passage, especially the first 13 verses, I see a definite parallel here. And as my mind was thinking is, what is this passage like? I thought of a great way to illustrate this is a little story. Okay, so imagine this. First 13 verses, and here's the setting. Imagine a needy, dark, cold community that has a storm cloud over it. It's dark. It's running low on supplies. Just enough to get them by for a few more days. I think of the story of Nome, Alaska in the days where they had the typhoid fever and they were desperate. Imagine a community like that. And all of a sudden, it's dark, it's desperate, it's socked in by storm, and the supplies are running low. That is a picture of the world before Christ. They had supplies, the Jews, the Old Testament, they had faith, God had given them, but who are they waiting for? They're waiting for the supplies to come. So the story is they're waiting for a warm, bright supply train and the storm clouds to lift and the sun to come out again. So verses 6 through 9 is as if John the Baptist is heralding the prophet. He's the herald and prophet, and he's announcing that Jesus Christ is coming. The supply train is coming. I can see in the distance that big bright light, and it's coming to us, and that light is bringing to us salvation and supply. And that's the exact story that verses 6 through 9 through 8 announces John the Baptist. The train is coming, the train is coming. I see the light coming. Verses 6 through 8. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. The supply and the salvation is here. The stability is here. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that coming light, that light. Okay, so now we have verse 9. Verse 9 says, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It's talking about that light that was coming. That light was Jesus. Verse 9, the train is here. It has arrived. But it's not just any train. It's the train with all the supplies and the light of the sun. It brings everything we need. It's here to rescue us. It's here to bring us salvation, stability, and supply. It's here. We don't have to wait for it anymore. Then verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made by him. He's the creator who came down to his creation. And the world knew him not. That's a sad verse. So here's the thought, is kind of following the line of the story. The needy person in that community, imagine this community, the average human, what's their response? Train's here. Who cares? I'm good. I don't need any more supplies. Who is this and why is he so special anyway? I've become comfortable with the dark and the cold. I don't need light. I don't need supplies. I don't need any help. I'm good on my own. They're ignorant that Jesus is the Christ. He's God come in the flesh. He's the creator and savior of the universe. They are ignoring the fact that the train is there. The light is there. Their supply and their rescue has come. Now verse 11. He came unto his own. Christ came not only to the world, but he came into his own. Who's that talking about? The Jews, the Jewish people. Verse 11, the privileged person, the Jewish person in this community says, I don't really need him. I think I'm comfortable with what I have. I don't need the Messiah. Well, you've been waiting for him. We've been waiting for those supplies to come. We've been waiting for the rescue. We've been waiting for the, I'm good. I'm comfortable. I don't want that. Okay, verse 12. What do we have? But, what a comforting thought here. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. How? Even to them that believe on his name. So verse 12, the thought is this, the empowered person, Christians, they come. What do they have to do? Humbly, submissively receive the supply and salvation that's here. Hey, the supply train has come. I need it. I need the help. I need the rescue. I need the supply. I need the peace. I need the comfort. I need what is being offered to me. And that is people who come to Christ by faith and receive the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. He's here. So verse 12, the empowered Christian, I need help. I need forgiveness. I need sustenance. I need that help. I want to be adopted. I want to be saved. I want to be provided for. I believe in Jesus as my Savior and my Sustainer and my Lord. And that is the picture of this passage. But then verse 13, the fact. Verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So what's the thought? The fact is this. Christians' new birth, their salvation, their sustenance, their provision, it's not physical. It's not something that flesh and blood can do, can supply for themselves, can save themselves. Nor is it attainable by human efforts or desires. It's not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, not of our blood, not something that we can do, not something that flesh and blood can do. Nor of the will of the flesh. It's not something we can just try our best to do to provide for ourselves. Which is so sad because people are trying to find that energy in themselves for all the help they need. That's not where the answer is. Nor of the will of man. Not something that you can just desire or work for. But of God. God has provided the train supply, the light that's here. What do we have to do? Receive it. Believe it, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's the key. So let's look at the passage tonight. That's kind of the analogy of the passage, but let's look at the actual passage. Verse number 4, so we've had the words eternal person, the words infinite power, the words herald and prophet. Now number 4, in this passage, verses 9 through 11, we have the words Jesus Christ's unrecognized potential. So many people miss out on what Christ is here to complete and fulfill. And we are complete in him, Colossians says. We are complete in him. And so now we have the fulfillment, the satisfaction, the sustainment, the salvation, the rescue, the supply, the stability, everything through Christ, which strengthens us. So, the words unrecognized potential, Jesus, what's the fact? These verses are telling us, and this is the point for us, Jesus was and is rejected and ignored. He came unto his own and his own received him not. He was the creator coming down to rescue us, and his creation's apathetic about it. So verse 9, the light revealed. That was the true light, Jesus. It's referring to Jesus, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That light, Jesus Christ, is available for all people. God doesn't play favorites. It's not a Jewish-only religion. It's not an ethnic group or an economic group or whatever. It is for all people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's not for a gender that he came to die for. It's not for an ethnic or socioeconomic group. It's for everybody that this light came into the world. And here's a summary. The light of Jesus is available to all, but that doesn't mean that everyone will receive it. The train is coming. The train is coming. The train is here. I don't care. I think of Carlsbad Bad Caverns. I don't know if many of you had even gone to down to caverns or mines or places like that where you go down deep into the ground and they have a light system. And sometimes when you get there, you get way down there. And all of a sudden, just as a joke or a prank, what do? Turn off the lights. And all of a sudden, everybody is it's pitch black and no one can see anything. And everybody just kind of stumbles around and it's kind of a little scary. Well, the reality is everybody is comfortable stumbling around in the dark, even though the light of the world has come and they have the opportunity to be guided through life, to have fulfillment and clarity in life. No, I'm comfortable in the dark. I'm okay. We're going to see that theme several times in the Gospel of John. You think last couple weeks ago, I took a couple of my kids to the zoo, and one thing in that amphibian place, I forget what they call it exactly, but there's all kinds of animals in there, and there's this fish in the tank, and it's called the blind cave fish. And I was reading it, and it was really interesting because the blind cave fish is actually born with eyes. But because they never use them, because they're always in the dark, the eyes deteriorate. And they're never used. It's kind of a neat story of creation, because if evolution was true, they would be born without eyes. Okay? But they are born with eyes, but as they live, the eyes deteriorate away. Why? Because they're never used. The thought is this: everybody has an opportunity to see that the light of the world is come, but not everybody appropriates that. Not everybody cares about it. And people are apathetic about it. We talked about last week, people stumbling through the night, get up to let a dog out or to use the restroom or to get a drink or whatever it be, and you don't have a light on, you stumble through the night. Okay, and sometimes you flip on the light and that bright light, oh, my eyes are hurting, I'm going to turn it off. I'm more comfortable with the darkness than the light. Here's the application for our lives. Are your eyes closed to Jesus Christ? Or are they wide open to his direction and guidance in your life? We have access to the light of the world to guide us and direct us through our lives and sustain us and to stabilize us, so we don't have to stumble around. We can have peace in the midst of the storm. Why? Because we have clarity of the world around us. We have the light of the world, Jesus, and we have the Word of God to help guide us in the Holy Spirit. Verse 10, not only do we have the light revealed, we have the light rejected by the world. Verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. God created the world, but the world rejected him. And what's the point? What's the summary? People have and are ignoring the light. The needy person, the train comes, and what do they say? Who cares? I'm good. I don't need any supplies. Who is this and why is he so special anyway? I've become comfortable with the dark and cold. I don't need light. I don't need supplies. I don't need any help. There's a lot of moral, religious people out there who reject Jesus Christ. They're ignorant that Jesus is the Christ, God come in the flesh, the creator and savior of the universe. So here's the thought. The very thing that people need is here. Sustenance, salvation, strength, comfort, peace, stability. But people don't care and they're simply rejecting him. God's love and provision of salvation is here through Christ, God has provided us salvation and resources. And here's the picture I keep thinking of over and over again. God loves us. He doesn't want us to go to hell because he created hell for the devil and his angels. And the devil and his angels are wreaking havoc on his creation. And God's created a punishing judgment for the devil and his angels. But when mankind rebelled, God cannot allow sin into heaven. So what now? God cannot allow sin into heaven because that would make heaven imperfect and that would make him imperfect because he dwells in heaven. And so what can he do? I love mankind. I don't want to banish all mankind to hell. I'm going to send my perfect son, Jesus Christ, to earth to rescue them. The train has come. Sustainment, salvation is here. Here you go. Salvation on a silver platter at Christmas time or your birthday when someone gives you a present and they present it to you. What do you have to do? You have to receive it. But God is presenting the greatest gift to mankind on a silver platter. And what is mankind doing? I don't need it. I don't want it. And that is the saddest fact in the world. The light rejected by the world. John 3, turn with me quickly. Just a couple pages over John 3:3. And then we're going to look at John 3:19. John 3:3 says this. Jesus answered and said unto him, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It also reminds me of John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 3:19 says this, and this is the condemnation. Basically, he's saying, God so loved the world, he gave us his only begotten son, but there's a dark side to this as well. Here's the condemnation. That light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They're comfortable stumbling around in the dark. What are you doing to point people to the light? Let me just say this. Obviously, the Holy Spirit is heavily involved in drawing a person to God. But we've seen over and over in scripture and in history that the Holy Spirit, that God loves to use people and individuals to draw people to him. What are we doing to help expose and present the light? Hey, you need the supply. It's here. Come. Salvation is not an experience, but come enjoy the salvation of the Lord. So what do we have? Number 11, the light rejected by his very own. Verse 11, chapter 1. He came unto his own and his own received him not. Here's the summary. Not only has the world rejected Jesus, but the very people who should have received him rejected him. The Jewish people. Isaiah 53, 3 through 5 says this. He is despised. It's a prophecy of the coming Messiah. Isaiah 53, 3 through 5. And he is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. This is a prophecy of the Old Testament referring to Jesus Christ. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, in our place. He was bruised for our iniquities. And that chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. The Jews were prophesied this from Isaiah. But when that light came, that Messiah came, and everything happened to Christ that's happened in Isaiah 53 that was prophesied, what's their response? I don't really need him. I don't need that light. I don't need that train. I don't need that supply. I'm too comfortable with what I already have. This Old Testament law, the system, I'm good with it. I don't need anything. I am an ethnic Jew, so I get my free ticket to heaven. Let me just be a little bit transparent with this one. Just because you're religious, just because you're moral, just because you're a Jew, does not mean that you're going to heaven. Josh Baird and I had an interesting conversation with a man that I love and I care about. I would consider him a close friend, but he's in his 80s. And we were talking to him, doesn't come to a church here, but I know him very well. And we were talking about coronavirus and all this kind of stuff, and we have different political views, we have different religious views, but he loves to talk to me and I love to talk to him, and we have a great relationship together. But he is a Jew, a Jewish man. And he is offended at the fact that I think that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Josh and I were standing right there yesterday. He said, yeah, I went to your church one time for a cantata, and the pastor told me that because I'm a Jew and I don't receive Jesus Christ, I'm going to hell. What was my response? I'm not going to say, well, no, if you're good enough, no, if I truly love him, I'm going to give him the truth. And I was as tactful and as loving as I could be, and I gently told him, it really does all come down to your relationship with God. You know what his response was? Josh knows. And he walked away and stormed away. He was offended. He was hurt that I would have the audacity to tell him that Jesus Christ is the light, and except a man be born again, no man can enter into the kingdom of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the Jewish people, the Messiah came, and they rejected him. Why? I'm good. I don't need your Christ. And that is one of the saddest, most frustrating, discouraging things for us as Christians, and I'm sure even more so for God the Father and Jesus Christ. Here's the application. Are we simply religious? Crossing all our T's and dotting all our I's. I almost said crossing our I's and dotting our T's. All right. Are we simply religious? Or are we truly followers of Christ? Are we just going through the motions? I'm good. I'm comfortable. I can work my way to heaven. No, we're going to see in the next verse. It doesn't work. The next two verses. Religion doesn't get you to heaven. It's a relationship that gets you to heaven. We are not a religious people. We are people that are blessed with a relationship through Jesus Christ. Morality won't get us to heaven. Religion won't get us to heaven. Being an ethnic Jew won't get us to heaven. Jesus Christ is that light that cometh into the world that we may have salvation and sustenance and stability. So number five, what do we have? The word, Jesus Christ, his omnipotent power. Verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So what is this verse saying? Those who receive Jesus become princes and princesses of God. What a thought. We're princes. We're royalty. We're princesses. What a thought. We are adopted to the King of Kings, by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Why would we reject that? God is a loving God. He is a caring God. He is a controlling God. He is authority over all. And we have a opportunity by faith, by belief, by trust to be adopted into his royalty. So let's look at this quickly. I'm going to kind of go backwards. I'm going to flip-flop verses 13 and 12. What's the first thought of verse 13? We, which were born, not of blood. So how are we born into God's family? Not of blood, nor of the will of God, nor of the will of man, but of God. And we talked about this already, so I'm just going to glance over this verse. First of all, being born physically. That's what the summary of this verse is saying. Being born physically as a human being, being physically alive, Being born makes you physically alive and places you into your parents' family. That's the thought of verse 13. It makes you a human being, and human beings are not supernatural, and human beings cannot attain spirituality to have a relationship with God. So second of all, what's the key? Verse 12. Being reborn is what makes you spiritually alive and puts you into God's family. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. We were dead, but we were made alive through Christ. How? For by grace are ye saved. God's loving grace to us. For by grace are you saved through faith, our response, and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, silver platter, not of works. Verse 13, here, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not about us or what we can attain. It's all about God. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So what's verse 12 saying? The empowered person, the Christian, when that train comes, he say, I need help, I need forgiveness, I need sustenance, I need strength, I need stability in my life. I want to be adopted, I want to be saved, I want to be provided for emotionally, spiritually, physically, financially, both in this life temporarily and for all eternity. I believe in Jesus as my Savior, my Sustainer, and my Lord. What does that mean? It doesn't mean our lives are going to be easy. In fact, Jesus promises in the gospel that it'll be a hard life. Be mocked, persecuted. But what is it, what's it mean? He's going to carry us. He's going to sustain us. He's going to help us through hard times. And that is a peace that passes all understanding. We can cast all our care upon him because he cares for us. That gives us strength in the midst of the storm. Verses 12 and 13, we have the light received. The empowered person, the Christian. Receiving Jesus Christ means that you are reborn spiritually. Receiving new life from God. Here's the fact. Christian's new birth, salvation, sustenance is not physical nor attainable by human efforts or desires. It is supernatural, sourced by a loving, powerful Creator God. So how is this received? Verse 12 says, to them that believe on his name. It's received through faith in Christ. This new birth changes us from the inside out, rearranging our attitudes, our desires, our motives. Verse 13 is talking about salvation. Being a child of God doesn't come from your parents, your race, your citizenship, your ethnic group, your desires, or even your works. Salvation only comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ. I gotta read verse 14 just for Mrs. Haas's sake. She said, she told me before we started, she said, I'm so excited to look at verse 14 tonight. I said, I'm only getting to verse 13 tonight. So I'll read it for your sake, Mrs. Haas. Verse 14, and the word became flesh. That word from verse 1 became a person and dwelt among us, lived with us, Emmanuel, God with us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. He's obviously deity, and he was full of grace and full of truth. We'll look at that in the coming weeks, next week. So what? What do we learn from this passage? First of all, we learn that the two key lessons. Number one, those who refuse to open their eyes and receive Jesus Christ are ignoring the only thing that will guide and stabilize them through both temporal life and eternal life. Don't ignore or refuse Jesus Christ. Second of all, those who receive Jesus Christ not only will be guided through life, the light of the world, but will experience all the blessings that come with being the prince or princess of the King of the universe. That's why we as Christians, that's why Christianity is essential to us. It is our life. It's not just a part of our life. It is our anchor. It's not just another piece of the boat. So what about you? What about us? Two questions. First of all, have you received or have you rejected the light of the world, Jesus Christ? A lot of people say it's as easy as ABC. I think that's an overstatement because it is a change of mind and heart, and it is a denying yourself and coming to Jesus Christ. What people say is God has made it as easy as ABC. Admit that you are a sinner. We're sinners. Romans tells us because we're sinners, we have a punishment for our sin, and that is death or hell. But Jesus Christ, there's a price for it. But Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin on the cross. God so loved the world, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us in our place. And then we must receive that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So have you received or have you rejected Jesus Christ? That's the most important decision that you'll ever make in your entire life. And then the last question is this. If you have received Jesus Christ, are you living like a child of the King? Are you living like it? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus Christ is that light. Just like John the Baptist, we are called to reflect that light in the community and world around us. So are we living like we truly are a child and reflector of the King? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much that you bring sustenance and stability and light and strength. I don't know where I would be without you right now, Lord. I would be of all men most miserable. But Lord, the reality is you came as a loving, caring, creator, God of the universe, and you humbled yourself for me, for us, and for this entire world because you loved us. You cared about us. Lord, I pray that in our personal life as individuals, we would understand the significance of that and we would passionately cast all our care on you. We would passionately place our faith and our trust and our belief in you as our saving God, positionally, but also, Lord, practically in our everyday lives. We would have faith, we would have trust, we would have belief in you. Thank you for the clarity that you bring and stability that you bring. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here tonight or online tonight that is watching this, that has never placed their faith and trust, belief in you as their Lord and Savior positionally, that tonight would be that night